Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Yellow Dogs. Sitting on this cool evening. Got my warm socks on. Of course, you guys warm my heart, so. But it was nice meditating with you tonight. And tonight, I want to talk about states of mind, mind of states. Sydow Utezaniya clearly expresses the importance of monitoring our minds. He says, one thing you need to remember and understand is that you cannot leave your mind alone. It needs to be watched constantly. If you do not look after your garden, it will overgrow with weeds. If you do not watch your mind, defilements, greed, hatred, and delusion will grow and multiply. This is the best part. The mind does not belong to you, but you are responsible for it. Puts it right back on us, does he not? States of mind, something that we are dealing with constantly, and in our meditation, we're learning to watch for them, to get to know them, not as anything except to be noticed, to know what's going on within ourselves. And they're just a cluster of thoughts, usually with a story. But they're to be known because they have a nature of their own that if we don't pay attention to them, they have a great impact on how we are interacting in our lives. So in the study of ourselves, the teachings say, notice unwholesome mind states. And this happens to all of us, so it's not just a few of us. Greed, hatred, and delusion. And there can be a long study on each one of those words to really clarify what is exactly meant by greed, and it's comprehensive. And then there's wholesome mind states, generosity, loving kindness, and wisdom. So the thing about mind state is they give rise to attitudes and to our perspective. And to our outlook, and to our moods. And so that's important. And as we meditate, we begin to notice what we're saying to ourselves and about ourselves, and what mental constructs we've created, mostly unknown, knowingly. But they're hanging around. So an example would be a mind state that would create an attitude. How about a surly teenager? Of course, I've known a couple of old people who were pretty surly, so I'm not picking on the young. We can create a perspective mind state about anything. And we've seen that, how about the coronavirus? But what's the attitude? Will that attitude be helpful when we try to stay healthy in these days and times? So mind states create an outlook. Oh, things are really bad. Really, really, really bad. So, in a mood. How about a mood? Are you moody? I can be moody. Just ask Randy. So it creates a mindset where we think we don't want to see any evil, speak any evil, or talk any evil. We just want everything to be rosy. And if everything's not rosy, then something's wrong, you know. So we're full of these mind states. And here lately, I noticed one that I've had for a long time. I'm not telling you what it is, but I did come up with the conclusion that it couldn't possibly be true. And yet I know personally that I've been hanging out with this mind state for years. And since I understand the nature of the mind, I mean, it wasn't catastrophic. Thank you. But it was so interesting to me, and I didn't realize how sticky it was. And how, when that particular subject came up, that was what I filtered my attitude and how I was going to relate to a particular subject. So it was real interesting to me to really see what a mind state can do. Nothing's wrong with them, but if we go around not understanding what's happening and what we're hanging out with, then that's where we get caught in unnecessary suffering. So we want to face these things about ourselves without distortion or judgment. And we're not our mind states, but again, we're responsible for them. So it's important just to notice them. They can direct our attitudes. They have an influence on our decisions, create moods, prejudices, if they're not checked. And so getting to know them. And of course, they can cause unnecessary suffering. This particular one has, because this created a whole judgment about a very small group of people. So why, you know, why hang out with those kinds of mental states when we know that we don't have to? And we want to understand ourselves clearly and honestly. And we don't want to be reactive to something that we're not aware of. That's how come we meditate, become more aware of what's going on inside. Everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we begin to see what interferes with our peace of mind. And which ones will lead to more suffering. So we want to look at them closely. And so the wholesome and the unwholesome teachings enables us to have some kind of framework in which to work with. Again, unwholesome when we get greedy or we're craving. When we're pushing things away, hatred, pushing, just not liking what's going on. Or when we don't have the wisdom behind the suffering that we've created for ourselves. So it's important. Greed, when we are absorbed in conceptual sense of wanting, grasping, clinging, obsessing. We all do it. Nothing's wrong with it. But again, this practice teaches us to pay attention to it, not to judge ourselves or make ourselves a little bit more miserable, but to know what is actually going happening. Because then we have a choice. Otherwise, we're just stuck with our conditioning and our habits. So the pushing away, when we're caught in pushing away, what is happening? That's what we want to know. What's happening within the body? And we begin to see even these little kind of throughout the day, I've noticed these things that really I don't particularly want to do. I mean, it could be as simple as brush my teeth. I brushed my teeth tonight, by the way. But you can see how we set ourselves up. Oh, I've got to, create this horrible story. And then we get caught in it. And then it's much ado about nothing. So when we notice it, that's when our choices come up. We catch ourselves, not to, again, to judge ourselves, but to know what is going on actually in any given moment. And then delusion, not knowing that we can pour ourselves to more freedom by studying the true nature of things. And we've done that, and that's beginning to really have an impact on our daily existence. So, it's all about not being affected by thoughts and mind states. In a sense where we create a story or cause more suffering. Because we're taught to just let them be. Let them rise, let them fall away. But we have to get to know them. And we fortunately have learned a process of which we can do that. But it's not easy, as we well know. But it takes practice. So we can train ourselves to notice those times when the mind is free, when it does feel spacious, when it does feel like we can totally accept life as it is. It's important to know that, just like it's important to know when we're happy and when we're not happy, sad. We want that whole range of existence to be known. That's what the practice does, all of it, because that is where life is led completely. Because if we don't do it in that framework, then we're just going to be caught in our habits, doing the same old, same old, same old. Falling into the same hole. I know all about that. Same hole. So, notice the time when our minds are free of greed and lust. Free of bewilderment and delusion. And then watch, observe ourselves, how we can just let it be. Open up to it. Allow it. And then we begin to see quite directly how it feels. And it feels different than when we are resisting life. And so that's where we find ourselves. That's our practice all day long. So forget that mind state that we think we don't practice during the day or we don't know how to practice during the day, because that's just nonsense. All the things that we see and we learn on the cushion and in our daily practice, in our commitment, is important to notice daily living. But another thing about mind states is that they can create action. I mean, we can act on them. And again, just complicating life just a little bit more. But they're not the nature of our minds, but they're just visitors that come at different times because of habits and conditions. And all these qualities of mind exist in all of us. It's not like, oh, he's a good boy, she's a good girl, she doesn't have these mind states. You know, some of us like to pretend that we're more than human, but we're not, you know. So you know one human being like yourself, you know all human beings. So we're not alone in this. It's just that we don't share our weaknesses, or share our when we don't do it right, or we're afraid, or we feel weak, or we feel lost. And yet those are the very things in life that connect us. That remind us that we are human and that all the entities around us, some happen to be human. So we have both sides of the polarities will arise in us. And so being conscious, knowing them when they arise, again, give us a choice. It allows us to settle within ourselves that we're perfectly imperfect too, that we're not waiting or catching ourselves doing it wrong, because that's just not possible. We're just doing as life is going to unfold. Now, how are we going to relate to it? And that's what our meditation practice does. It teaches us how to relate to all of it. And taking out the judging and the condemning of ourselves for having an ugly thought. We don't know from where thoughts come. And we don't know where they go. So we're not our thoughts. So, hello, ugly thought. I see you, ugly thought, and you're not me. But you're part of being a human being. So you can see how, if we don't understand the nature of all these things, how we start identifying with all of it. And we don't have to identify with any of it, because that's not who we are. And so we begin to accept ourselves as perfectly imperfect human beings and relax and live our lives relating to all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, Randy mentioned the preferences. When we set up so many preferences of what we like and what we don't like, and that puts us definitely in our heads, then where are we, you know? Well, we're in this struggle. We're in this war sometimes with ourselves and life and in the world, and it's unnecessary. And so, without the wisdom of what to do with all the facets of life, we set up this unconscious boundary of a mental tension or a stay away from me, you know. Separate. And working again, and it's all about the laws of nature. As I love to say, the Buddha didn't create any of this. He just noticed it. So as a result, lo and behold, they're laws of nature. And so there are forces that we're all going to live with and deal with. And what kind of life we have depends upon how we respond or react or relate. And again, we have the tendency to repress what we don't like and then cling to what we like, which is, of course, second noble truth, the cause of suffering. So we often turn away and pretend that the unwanted doesn't exist. We stuff it. And then we're just reminded, oh yeah, I need to get to know all aspects of my life, not just my preferences. Know your preferences, that's important too. But don't disregard the parts of life that is so necessary to come to terms with in order to become completely happy. And there's ways to do that. But if we deny the fact of anything that's in our life that exists, we deny it, it will create a mental shadow. So we're not getting away with anything if we're not living truthfully in the here and now and understanding what life is offering us, opening to all the possibilities. So both sides of the polarities will arise in us, and that's okay. That's part of it. That's part of it. No one is an exception. Oh, but I know someone that, no, she's perfect. No, she seems like she's really perfect in every way. And if you ask her, she'll tell you, yeah, no. I don't have those issues. That's not me. Or, oh, I'm so sorry that you have anger. Oh, it must be terrible for you to have such anger. Shame, 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 shame. So again, just another way to remind us, let's just be human. That's all that the Buddha's asking for us anyway, just to accept all of it. And there's ways to learn how to accept all of it. And that's what our practice does for us. And so we want to just continue that. So pushing nothing away, but learning how to embrace all of it. That's our practice. Thank you for being good listeners. And I'll stop.